Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad to be with you and hope things are going well around your house. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and during this hour, we're going to talk about a lot of things that I guarantee you you'll find interesting. What about window replacement? We're going to talk a little bit about that. That can be a hard decision, Joe, when you're looking at all of the different options that are out there and trying to decide the exact window. And boy, budget plays a big role in that.
It does, because there are lots of different styles of windows. There's lots of different qualities of window. Like many other products, you can buy a really inexpensive window that might not save you much energy. You can buy a really expensive window that will save you energy, but maybe bust your budget. So you know, there's lots to think about. And plus the condition of the existing windows in your home and the frame itself. So yeah, there are a lot of options. But once you can narrow it down to your price budget, you know, the budget of your new construction, and whether you're going to do the whole house at once, or sometimes people will just do the front of the house and save some more money than do the back or the side of the house.
Yeah, a lot of different options there. Also, something that can be very frustrating around the home is when you have some paint that's just not performing very well and it's cracking. But why is it cracking just in one area? We have a homeowner that's pretty frustrated. We're going to help them out a little bit. And Joe, when we talk about durability of paint, brand new paint just hit the market that's very, very durable,
that's
washable, and but it's still a flat finish, because usually when you want a more durable type of paint, you go to eggshell or semi-gloss, but this might be something that a lot of people find appealing, because a lot of people just don't like any type of sheen on their interior paint.
Right. Interior is typically flat, and the reason is that it doesn't reflect as much, and so any little surface imperfection, and every wall is going to have and every ceiling is going to have surface imperfections, they don't show up as much on a flat surface because it's not reflecting light. So yeah, I much prefer flat. And if you buy a good quality flat, it's surprisingly durable. I mean, I can remember not too long ago, several years ago, I guess now, if you bought an average price flat paint and scrubbed it even lightly with a sponge, a damp sponge or rag, the paint color would come off on the rag.
And
I found recently in the bathroom, in fact, I painted it maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can scrub it pretty, you know, aggressively, not with a scouring pad, but with a sponge. And, you know, it still looks great afterwards.
And, Joe, what happened to the price of paint? Now, maybe it's just me, but I thought you could buy a pretty good quality paint for $18 or $20. I think that's like a price of a quart now. What the heck happened?
That's right. I'm not sure, other than the science has caught up with the demand for paint that lasts as long as possible and as durable as possible. And, yeah, you can spend, you know, $70, $80 on a gallon of interior paint. You know, exterior paint, you can kind of say, all right, well, you know, it's exposed to the weather. But, you know, a hallway, why am I spending $70 a gallon for a hallway upstairs that I'm the only one walking up and down? I don't even touch the walls, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I know it.
Certain places, I don't think you need really expensive paint like that. But, yeah, I agree. The prices are going up and up. I guess that's true of most products, right?
Now, Joe, you ever have one of those words that you come across that you just like to say? I found one, and we say it a lot here on the show, efflorescence. It just seems like you need a little music bed behind it. Efflorescence.
Mine is Danny Lipford. That's the one I like saying.
But it's not a very pleasant thing to deal with.
No.
And boy, efflorescence is always caused by moisture. And that's the thing that sometimes is hard to diagnose and find in order to prevent efflorescence from coming back.
Yeah, efflorescence is, if you have anyone that has any kind of masonry in their home, and most people do, concrete block, you know, poured concrete, a foundation, a retaining wall, whatever, efflorescence is salts, natural salts and material and minerals that are in the concrete, in the water, whatever. It grows out. In fact, efflorescence comes from the French word term meaning, I think, flowering out, something like that, because that actually, the efflorescence, it just winds up being a white, powdery, crystalline substance on the surface, which you can knock off pretty easily. The concern is, yeah, it comes off easily, but why does it keep coming back? And in most cases, efflorescence will subside after, you know, within a year ordinarily, but we have heard from listeners, and I think we're going to hear from one later, who, you know, it's been an ongoing problem. And what do you do? Sure, you can keep cleaning it off, but then what?
Right. Yeah, we have one homeowner that's battling it and battling it. So we're going to give them a few ideas to try a little bit more in their war with the efflorescence. But also, you know, when you have a vinyl floors have been around a long, long time. They've just gotten better and better and more durable. But sometimes stains get on there that you just can't seem to get off because you can't be too aggressive or you'll knock off or damage some of the flooring. So we have a homeowner that has a unique situation. We're going to try to help out. And of course, we're going to have a simple solution for you in a little bit. How about a little tease on that simple solution, Joe?
Okay. If you have a pegboard in your shop or your basement or wherever you keep your tools, which is, I don't know how long pegboards have been around, but they're still a great way to organize and display your tools. But what you can't often do is there are certain items that you can't just hang on a hook. So maybe you need a shelf. Well, I've got a simple solution to make a shelf using pegboard hooks.
Well, you know, when I think of pegboard, I think of one of the real bad luck I had one time. I built this wonderful garage, and it was right on Mobile Bay here in Mobile, Alabama. And the homeowner wanted to use some old stones that he had. They were actually ballast rock. So we used the ballast rock around the bottom about 2 or 3 feet, and then we built about a 10-foot wall, and then we built the garage. Everything was going well. Well, he wanted pegboard in the garage. We insulated the walls, and we installed pegboard. So it's 8-foot tall boards, sheet. So we installed it, nailed it up. Everything was going fine. We put had the 2-foot piece up on top, put a little batten strip around it. They loved it. Everything was fine. I got a call 2 days later from him, say, please come down and look at this. When I came down there, it was buckled and warped and twisted, and the nails hadn't come loose, but it's just because it was not sealed properly. Because, you don't normally seal it, and if you do, you could seal the front of it, but what a great example of had I sealed both the front and the back, which I didn't realize you should need to do that.
Right.
And then, because of the humidity that infiltrated that garage, which is very common, I had to replace every single piece of that pegboard. And to this day, I think that's why I hate pegboard. I just don't like pegboard. It's just
because the back of it, you're right, the back of it is very porous. Yeah. It's a very rough surface. And the front of it, is often tempered and really hard and shiny and probably, somewhat moisture resistant, but not the back. The back's like a sponge.
Well, Joe, over the last few weeks, we've had different themes emerge, but I really don't have anything on squirrel picnic tables or donkeys this week. So we'll
really,
yeah, we might have to talk about home improvement.
So if there's some donkey tables.
Well, I thought about the if you could take a squirrel picnic table and strap it to the back of a donkey, and then while he's eating his corn, he can ride around the field with the donkey. But I think we're getting a little weird on this one.
Might want to check with the donkey before you propose that plan.
Anyway, when you're talking about window replacement, one thing that kind of comes to mind is my daughter Chelsea is getting ready for a big renovation on her house, a new house that she bought. It was built in 1957 and pretty much is original. And when I say original, it has those old metal windows in it. I mean, they're like the old timey schoolhouse windows.
Right,
they probably weigh 300 pounds. And of course, that has to go. Very inefficient. You can't open and close them. No telling what kind of paint that they have on there. But anyway, so she's been digging deep in looking at all of the different options. Of course, with it being a brick exterior, you don't want to disturb the brick. So it's a really good candidate for vinyl windows. But when you start getting all of the window, and most vinyl windows that are replacement type windows, you buy those from companies that install them. And boy, she's been going through all of these sales pitches. They've got the best window. And she has really learned a lot about the importance of the reinforcement that many of the window manufacturers have inside the vinyl windows so that you don't have all of that expansion and contraction and they're just stronger windows. There's a lot to be learned when you're ready to replace those windows.
Yeah, the two most important factors if you're shopping for vinyl windows is welded corners, not the frame of the window, the sash itself shouldn't just be screwed together, should be welded. Now, obviously, it's not welded like metal, but it's essentially just heat glued or melted. I don't know how they do it exactly, fuse it together. But the corners are fused together as if it was welded. And also, you want to, the frame itself should be thick and filled with channels. right? It shouldn't be a really flat, thin, because those channels are going to trap air, and the air is going to be help in insulating not only the frame of the sash, of course, but the frame itself will be of higher energy efficiency. So those are two things to look for in vinyl windows.
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of information waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com, because we really dug deep in all kinds of windows, the advantages and disadvantages of many. So drop by the website if you have any questions at all. You know what? You're at the right place to get all the most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. And yes, we're going to have a little fun along the way. So sit back, relax, whatever you're doing. I hope it's going well, but get ready for some great home improvement information that I guarantee you you can use. And you can reach out to us 1-800-946-4420 to Today's Homeowner Hotline. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Efflorescence.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
It is always great to be with you each and every week here on Today's Homeowner on wonderful stations all over the country, including KUCT AM 1600 and 94.1 FM in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Cookeville, Danny, is located in north central Tennessee, about midway between Nashville and Knoxville. It's the largest of 20 micropolitan areas in Tennessee. I was not familiar with that term, micropolitan. We've all heard of metropolitan, of course, but a micropolitan area is a smaller city that still serves as a significant economic hub, and that's exactly what Cookeville is. And it's also home to Tennessee Tech University, and it's roughly 10,000 students. So hello to everybody in north central Tennessee. Give us a call if you have a home improvement question.
And we make that very easy. The Today's Homeowner Hotline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-800-946-4420. Or send us an email if you'd like, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Let's get right to the phones now with Nancy in Michigan. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us about your home there and exactly what's going on. I understand you're a little frustrated about some paint cracks.
Yeah, this is a house we bought almost 3 years ago. It's about 50-some years old, little Cape Cod, one bathroom. And we started having, we went through and painted when we purchased it. And we've had some issues in the bathroom on the wall with the window faces east. And we have some parts of that wall, not the whole thing, that the paint cracks. We could peel it off if we wanted, but we've just kind of left it. One area above the window, probably above the window to the left, has cracked. And we scraped it and repainted, but it's done it again. Hmm. But the odd thing is it's not doing it across that whole that whole wall. It's,
right.
It's like in a large section, maybe 2 feet by 1 foot.
I see. Okay.
And then some smaller spots down the wall. So it's not the whole thing, which is to me is kind of strange.
Yeah, that is a little odd. And this is the outside wall?
Yeah, it's an outside wall, faces east. The one window, it's just your basic older bathroom with, you know, tub shower. When we bought the place, we put in a new ceiling vent. We were just trying to figure out, what some thoughts might be on this.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things it could actually be. I'll touch on a few, and then Joke will touch on a few. But, you know, you have, of course, the expansion and contraction that comes with anything when you're on an outside wall. It's a possibility there's a little void in the wall that does not have insulation that makes it a little more prone to the effects of the weather outside. Now, when you repainted it, you didn't get any indication that there was any moisture in there. You didn't see any staining or any... maybe a little bit of drywall damage or anything?
I don't believe so. We have rental homes, that, and so we kind of watch for that stuff, you know, kind of know what to look for. I don't believe so.
Nancy, bathrooms are always, you know, is a pretty hostile environment for all paint, you know, because of the change in humidity and in temperature, and on an exterior wall, there might be some moisture passing through the wall. What is the house sided with? Is it painted wood siding? Is it vinyl? Do you know what's on the outside?
It's vinyl siding, I believe, over the old wood siding.
Okay, so moisture is probably not passing through from the outside, I suspect. This is a tough one, you know, because like you said, it's in an isolated area. I mean, unless you remove the drywall from that upper section and really get a chance to inspect what's going on in that wall, you know, check all the insulation, check for any voids, you know, make sure there's no moisture or any mold or something behind it. Because ordinarily, any cracking or peeling is caused by not ordinarily the paint, but by the substrate, by what's it been applied to and how it was prepared. You can't just paint over it, as you've probably discovered, because, you know, it's not going to hide the cracking. Usually what you need to do is scrape it off, go over it with a thin layer of joint compound, sand it, maybe another thin layer of joint compound, prime it, and then paint it. But, and I guess that, although that's a lot of work, it might be worth trying until, you know, if that doesn't work, then you can tear out the drywall as a last resort. But that would be the step. You know, unfortunately, those would be the steps to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
And I think that primer is a key thing. You really want a good quality primer, even a bonding primer. You'll find that at any of the paint stores. And that might be just the thing, because it might just not be adhering to the substrate properly, and that might be the main problem. There may not be any other elements other than that. It's kind of funny. I remember a few years ago on the radio show, we were talking with someone, and they had a similar situation. I doubt that's the case here, but through the conversation, we found that the lady used a lot of hairspray. And that it just by a random thing there, you know, she was talking, you know, I'm in the morning and I'm doing this, and I went, wait a minute. And she realized she was spraying the hairspray, you know, the residue was going on the wall. Uh-huh. She repainted it. She says just that one area it would not adhere to. So, I'm not saying that's what's happening there, but it was, we stumbled across that answer for that particular homeowner.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the bonding primer, because before you called, we were talking about it, and my husband, he said, you know, we had scraped it before and repainted, but we didn't use a primer. So he was, he wanted me to ask you about a primer. So a bonding primer is what you're recommending.
Yeah, that'll be your best bet, and that gives it a really good surface so that the paint will adhere very well. But sorry you're having these kind of problems, but hopefully we've pointed you in the right direction.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Nancy. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. So we had a hostile bathroom, did we, Joe? A hostile
bathroom. I guess so. Yeah.
Hostile,
it's a hostile environment.
In the bathroom. Hostile environment. Wow.
We didn't mention to Nancy, I assume she knows that if you're going to paint the bathroom, you definitely want to use a bathroom paint. A paint designed for bathroom has a moisture, you know, a mold and mildew-resistant additive built into it, or you can add it yourself, but you know that might help the paint too, you know, prevent it from cracking. I suspect it's some problem with the wall itself, not the paint.
Right, I would think so too. Hey, let's get one of the emails. You can send us one at todayshomeowner.com/ask. What a name here. Pogo Smithy.
Pogo Smithy?
Pogo Smithy from Rhode Island asks, is there a DIY-friendly way to repair creaky floors in a second-floor apartment? Well, when you say apartment, you know, you're a little more limited on what you can do. And, of course, it is very hard on any, and let's just assume it's a hardwood floor and they're squeaking when walking across it. A lot of times we will recommend taking some very thin cabinet-type screws that are very thin, small diameter, small head, and just try to locate exactly where the squeak is. You need to try to find, with using a very good stud sensor, exactly where your joists are, so that you can just randomly screw in that to try to stop that movement, you know, so that it's not rubbing and that friction of the wood rubbing together will not make that sound. But there's also, if you like the smell of baby powder, this might be a good example for that trick, Joe.
Yeah, we've talked about talcum powder, baby powder. You sprinkle it between the floorboards. It actually acts kind of like a lubricant, I guess, for lack of a better word. You sprinkle it in, walk around, kind of try to push it in between the boards and, you know, wipe it off. Don't vacuum, because you'll vacuum it right out from the joints, but just wipe off any leftover that's on the surface. Now, that's not a permanent cure. You might have to need to do that depending on how squeaky it is. Maybe you have to do that once a month, but that's a pretty simple way. And there's also those screws, Danny, specifically made. They're called Squeak No More.
That's right.
To the system, yeah. Right, by a company called O'Berry Industry. That's B-E-R-R-Y, O'Berry Industries. You can check those out as well.
Yeah, some of those even are, you're able to use through carpet. You
That's
have
right.
squeaks under the carpet that you can screw right down through several ways. Because that can be so aggravating when you're sneaking downstairs for that peanut butter and jelly sandwich and that glass of milk. Well, I hadn't had one of those in years and years. I think I'll have one at the break. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about that special paint that's just been released that's very durable but has a flat finish. And also, we'll talk about how to get rid of efflorescence. That's nice sounding word, but it's not something you want in your house. All that and more when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by TiteBond. The Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Home Depot Best New Product segment, How Doers Get More Done. Have you ever painted a room only to find that the new finish scuffed up in just a day or two? Now, that's not even a question if you have any small children at home, but the problem is real problem for all of us, just finding that paint that's very durable. So Behr came up with Behr Ultra Scuff Resistant Stain Blocking Paint and Primer all in one. It creates an extra protective shell featuring NanoGuard technology, so the finish continues to look new a lot longer, and it provides excellent durability. Now, the real benefit of this particular paint is that even with a flat sheen, you can have a rich finish that's tough enough for any high traffic areas you may have around your home. So you don't have to compromise from the flat finish look that you want in order to get the durability that you need. Plus, Scuff Defense features an antimicrobial mildew-resistant finish along with a stain-blocking, stain-resistant formula, so when you have to clean it, it is a pretty easy job. And as Joe and I've talked about before, when in those areas of your home that are flat, have a flat finish on it, sometimes it's just about impossible to clean it. And even when you do have to maybe be a little aggressive with a sponge or a paper towel that's damp, it can leave a little spot there. So
right.
This sounds like it could be used in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, and if you clean a spot and then the spot's noticeable, your only option is to clean the whole wall.
Right,
well, I don't want
right.
to clean
yeah.
the whole wall. I just wanted to get that one fingerprint off, you know. Uh-huh. So, yeah, this sounds like a great new paint.
Well, let's go right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline, and you can call us anytime, 800-946-4420. Ron is on the line from Virginia. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you.
Good, good. Tell us about this little frustration. We have a lot of homeowners that are frustrated about different things, but I understand your concrete retaining wall is just not looking like you want it to.
No, it definitely isn't. I have three walls, and it probably runs about 1,000 block, and and I would say about 10% of them have some degree of effervescence on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've tried TSP. like vinegar, house and deck wash, and nothing seems to take it away. I've considered, I have some muriatic acid, and I was thinking about that, but it says on the label there it might affect the color of this stuff. And the block, you know, these concrete blocks, they come with different colors to them.
Right.
And I was wondering whether it would affect that. So maybe you guys got some idea.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we hear a lot about problems with efflorescence. That's a result of moisture there. Now, is this retaining wall inside or outside?
Oh, no, they're outside.
Okay, and I assume the efflorescence is showing up more on the lower part of it, or is it just random places along the wall?
No, it's random. It's random.
Okay. Well, one thing we know that it is a result of moisture migrating through that, and I assume behind the wall you have quite a bit of dirt. And how tall is this wall?
The walls are on average about 4 feet high, and they have about a foot wide of 57 stone with landscape fabric behind it, around it. So.
On the back side of it, you have all of that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And drain lines on the bottom.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely the way it should be done so that you don't have that buildup of moisture there. And it is, are the walls painted or are they the original unsealed stone, unsealed concrete block?
No, they're not painted or anything. These are, they're cast retaining wall blocks. That have a color, you know, color pigments in with the Portland cement and the aggregates.
I got you. Okay. Well, I don't think there would be any problem in carefully using the muriatic acid with the proper dilution of it. Joe, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be any coloration problem, or do you think something else might get that efflorescent off of there?
Yeah, Ron, I'd be concerned. I mean, that would be a last resort, I think, to use the any kind of acid, muriatic, or anything else, because, yeah, what if it does color it, change the color, then you have to do the whole wall, and that doesn't, you know, so it all looks the same. Go ahead.
The color is in the concrete itself.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, but the muriatic acid might bleach that out if you just spot.
Right.
Right. So, well, ordinarily, if it's just simple efflorescence, you already tried this, but for other listeners, one part vinegar, four parts warm water, scrub it with a stiff bristle brush, we'll get rid of it. Now, are you saying you can't even get it off, or it comes off but it comes back? Is the issue that you just can't get it off?
No, it just doesn't come off, period.
All right, then you're gonna have to move up to a power washer, a pressure washer. If you don't own one, you can rent one. And that would definitely take it off. And I would, in the reservoir, I would mix a concrete cleaner. Simple Green makes one. ZEP makes one. Rust-Oleum makes, there's a whole bunch of them. Make sure it can be used in a pressure washer. Because that's what I would do next. You know, if this is efflorescence that you just can't get off any other way, a power washer would definitely take it off.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean it's going to stay away. It may come back, but it'll take it off.
Right.
Joe, what about some clear sealer? Do you think once he gets it clean and it's dried for
a
day or two,
maybe
put a clear masonry sealer? Actually, Ron, you can take clear masonry sealer and put it in a pump-up sprayer. And, you can put a coat on, get a cup of coffee, put another coat on. and be able to put three coats on there, and that will help it resist any stain on the overall area. It'll make it more of a uniform look. It won't cause any kind of gloss. It might darken it for just a little bit, but it'll come right back to its original color. I think I would try that as a preventative measure after you get all of it cleaned off.
But isn't the effervescence coming from the back of the wall and not the front?
Correct. Yes, it is coming from the back, but that masonry sealer will help resist that, so that it'll stay in the stone gravel behind it and allow it to drain off. But I think you'll be in good shape, as Joe's mentioned, with the pressure washer.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll give it a try. Anything to get rid of this stuff.
Okay, Ron.
I got 1,000 blocks. So it's a lot of wall.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, rent you a good strong pressure washer, and that'll make the job go a lot easier. And
okay.
Like we say a lot of times here, buying a pressure washer is not a bad idea, because once you have one, you'll realize you can wash a lot of things, clean a lot of things around the house. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Glad you're with us. And when we come back, we've got a lot more home improvement information for you. Don't go anywhere. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Update old dull tiles in kitchen backsplashes or bathroom showers with the Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit from Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on a premium stone or porcelain finish that's waterproof and durable. Plus, it resists mold, mildew, and cleaning chemicals. The kit has everything you need, and right now, it's under $100 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit today. That's D-A-I-C-H Coatings.com.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And also encourage you to head by the Today's Homeowner website and sign up for our newsletter. It goes out every single week with the latest and greatest information that you'll find anywhere. A lot of links to videos. And we won't use your email for anything other than to send you this fresh home improvement information each week. Again, todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. We also want to remind you that our Today's Homeowner hotline can be accessed at any time, 800-946-4420. And that's where we heard from Linda Perry on a recent call.
I'm calling from Springfield, Illinois. We recently bought a 2018 fifth wheel beautiful camper, and my husband was there and he wanted bean cherries, and so he accidentally dropped a couple bean cherries nobody saw on the new vinyl floor, and the juice, you know, when you smash it, just is all over. I try to remove it from the vinyl floor. I've used so many different things, but nothing takes it out. And I'm getting ready to maybe resell this camper and wanting to know if you have any idea of what to use.
Okay. All right. Well, one thing that confuses me is why are you trying to clean it up at my house? If I mess something up, I have to clean it up. So he's getting off easy.
Well, maybe because her husband's not allowed in the camper anymore.
Oh,
maybe not.
He has been banned from the camper. Well, Joe, you know, it always confuses me a lot of times with situations like that on vinyl, but especially, you know, this is a fairly new camper, so the floor is fairly new, even though floors in a camper get probably quite a bit of abuse when you're out the campgrounds and so forth. But still, how can it penetrate that top layer? So wouldn't you assume, even with something like a cherry juice, which is pretty hard to get out of things that will absorb the juice, but wouldn't you think that this is still on the surface? I know you have to be careful not to use, you know, something like Comet that would be abrasive, but what do you think she should try?
Well, I think it might be an issue because first, you know, it's vinyl flooring in a camper. So I suspect the manufacturers aren't buying the highest quality, thickest, most durable vinyl floor. And in a camper, you know, everyone's walking on the same spot. You know, if it's a vinyl floor in a house, you know, you're kind of wandering around and every single person's walking in that on that same exact line. Where here, you know, if you're going into this camper, chances are you're walking on it. So I think that wear layer, that clear wear layer may have worn off, which is why, and cherry juice is very hard to remove. But what I would try is mix up one part bleach with two parts water and soak a rag in it. Soak a rag in the diluted bleach, lay it over the stain and let it soak for a few hours, keep it wet, you know, pour more on there, maybe overnight. That's probably the best you can hope for at this point. But you're right, I don't think I would scrub it because then you're going to have a dull spot in the middle of it.
Right.
That's about the only thing. I mean, there are floor cleaners you could try, commercial cleaners, but I think I'd try this bleach and water solution. But again, let it soak on a rag and then, you know, lift it up, and if it's partially faded away, then repeat it.
Well, hopefully Linda's husband is listening so he can go out there and fix what he messed up there.
Right.
You know, talking about durable floors, you know, my little vintage camper that I have
is
56 years old. I've owned it for 36 years, and we use it while we're out taping, and it's old, but it's, you know, been restored and is pretty cool, but it has the original floor in it.
Wow,
and it's
what
a
is it?
9x9 tiles, VCT tile.
Right. Okay.
And there was actually a couple of them that were damaged, but one of the storage things where you have a little couch in there and then you open it up and it has storage.
Right.
There
were
some on the floor in there. So I took a hairdryer and heated up a couple of them, and I peeled those things up, and then I took the two that were broken, just like you said, right in the path.
Right.
And I mean, of course, the camper's so small, everything is in its path, you know.
Yeah.
And I heated that up with a hairdryer and peeled those up and put the other two down.
Oh,
and it matches perfectly, and it's just flawless, the whole entire floor. And then we, you know, thoroughly cleaned it, put a little bit of the old-timey wax on it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm telling you, it's just as durable as can be.
Oh, good.
And that's a whatever brand that is that held up pretty darn good.
Yeah. Is that the blow dryer that almost burned down the camper? Didn't you have a fire in there at one point?
Yeah.
What caused that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get in it. Like when you're blowing, using something like that, which it's a common thing to use, usually a heat gun instead of your wife's hair dryer. But you don't want it to be pointed straight down to where the heat can reflect back up into the hair dryer. It'll burn it up in just a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
So you want to kind of blow the air across the surface and let it blow away from it. So it's that is a little bit of a problem. And
it's a good tip.
But I haven't had to use that again. She bought me my own, so I can use my own now. So.
Oh, good for you. She didn't want you using hers, is what it was.
Exactly. Hey, we want you to reach out to us anytime. You can send us emails, todayshomeowner.com/ask. And also, you can give us a call on the Today's Homeowner hotline anytime, 800-946-4420. Joe, we're right up about time for our simple solution coming up. Give us a little peek of what we're going to share with us.
Okay, I'm a big fan of pegboard. I think it's a great way to store your tools, organize your tools, keep them out of the way, but readily available when you need them. But you can't often hang every single tool because they would be better off on a shelf. But how do you put a shelf on a pegboard? So I've got a simple solution coming up on how you can use two hooks to make a shelf.
And also maybe you could share with us how you can keep the hooks from popping out of pegboard.
Don't let Danny anywhere near your pegboard. That's the first step.
Not a big fan of pegboard. But it is something that you can utilize very, very easy to organize those tools. And you see people utilizing it in kitchens.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen it where it's framed and so forth. I've seen that to a lot of different ways. But we're going to have that simple solution for you and a whole lot more when we come back right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Titebond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Titebond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Always glad to be with you. Always glad to share some good, fresh home improvement information. And also love it when Joe's able to share a simple solution, because that way I can sit back with my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I have one of those, and I have a pineapple with mayonnaise sandwich here. So I'm going to enjoy a little lunch here, Joe, while share a simple solution with us.
All right. Absolutely. My pleasure. Perforated pegboard provides a great way to organize your hand tools by hanging them on metal hooks. But there are certain items that you want in your shop that you can't hang on hooks very easily, such as bottles of glue, tape measures, cans of machine oil, things like that. So here's how to make a shelf for your pegboard. Start by cutting a 1x4, maybe 8 or 10 inches long, 12 inches long, something like that. Then measure in 1 inch from each end of the board and drill a 3/16 inch diameter hole into the back edge. So you're drilling holes into the back edge of the board, you know, about an inch in from each edge. Each end, and then be sure they go in. The holes are at least maybe like an inch and a half deep. And what you're going to do is you're going to insert into each hole a short, straight pegboard hook. They have pegboard hooks that are kind of L-shaped. They're actually tipped up a little bit. So when you slide these hooks into the back of the shelf is actually tipped back a little bit, so things won't slide off it. So that's kind of an advantage of it. But anyway, so you put the hooks in the holes and just hook them onto the pegboard, and now you have a shelf. And I've used one. I started with one. I now have two or three on my pegboard, because you just find stuff, like I said, that you can't easily hang on hooks. And Danny, earlier I'd mentioned, how do you keep those hooks from popping out? Well, a lot of times it's because you're using the wrong hooks, because pegboard comes 1/4 inch and 1/8 inch thick. And so you take different hooks. So if you put an 1/8 inch hook into a 1/4 inch pegboard, it's going to be really loose and it's going to fall out. So first make sure you have the right one. And what I've done is, when you get this right hook, I've just taken a short 1-inch drywall screw, and I just run it through the hole where the hook is, and it just kind of wedges it in there.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah,
so that's they do make kind of little straps and things, but I just run in a little drywall screw, And hold
or use a tube or two of construction adhesive.
Well, you have a lot of construction adhesive, so you're always looking for a that's why Danny's hat doesn't blow off in the wind. That's another simple solution.
Well, and also I would recommend, even if it's painted pegboard, the backside probably is not painted. And I'd recommend getting a can of spray polyurethane. Shake it up good. Make sure, try to do it outside if you can, because it does require a lot of ventilation when you're spraying polyurethane. And just spray it. Just coat it so that it's not absorbing moisture. Because if it is in your garage or out in your workshop, it most likely is not air conditioned, and your humidity can rise up in there and cause some warping of that pegboard. So spraying a little of that on the back of the pegboard's also a really good idea. I've had some bad experiences.
Yeah, started warping.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So. It'll also warp if you don't put enough wooden supports behind it, because obviously the pegboard can't be flat against the wall. You won't have any place to put in the hooks.
Right.
So you put supports behind it, usually one-by boards. And if you put too many one-by boards, every time there's a board, you can't put in a hook.
Right, exactly.
Right? So you don't want a lot of one-by boards, but enough to hold the panel stable.
There you go. Well, over this past hour, we've been able to share with you a lot of information, and hope you're able to be with us for our second hour. If you're listening to a station that does not carry the second hour, no problem. You can go to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And also, we've got a lot of people listening to our podcast each and every week, and I'd love for you to join in with us. And that's todayshomeowner.com/podcast or wherever you download your podcast. That'll wrap up this first hour. We certainly appreciate you being with us. I'm Danny Lippert, along with my buddy Joe Truini and our very capable engineer, Dennis Gould. We certainly hope you'll stick around for the second hour.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.